Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th of December, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, a few things to choose. And here's something you shouldn't lose. Gentlemen, it's nearly Christmas. So if you are the sort who celebrates the season, you need to start shopping last week. All right, we'll start with an interesting piece of news. Microsoft has been busy reminding users that support for Windows 2000 and Windows XP Service Pack 2 will end in July of 2010, perhaps prodding those users committed to staying with a Windows-based operating system to upgrade to Windows 7. Support for Windows XP Service Pack 2 will end on July 13th. Oh, excuse me. Support for Windows XP 2 will end on July 13th, 2010, after which customers will need to be on Windows XP SP 3 to receive the support benefits available to the extended support phase, a Microsoft spokesrobot said. Support
Very
for
good.
Windows XP Service Pack 3 will continue until 24 months after the next Service Pack release, or if there are no additional Service Packs, until Windows XP leaves the extended support phase on April 8th, 2014.
Is that a bad Richard Nixon or a bad Walter Cronkite?
Yes.
I was going to say, it sounded kind of like a mixture.
Whatever
of
it is, it's bad. I know that.
No, it was kind of
so
interesting.
So I stuck with my day job.
How many of our audience didn't know either of those people?
Windows 2000 server and client support will also end on July 13th, 2010. A December 6th posting in Microsoft Springboard Series blog included a link to the Windows XP to Windows 7 migration guide. According to a report by a researcher from research firm Forrester, Windows XP powered 80% of all commercial PCs on the eve of Windows 7's October 22nd release. However, the ages of both the operating system and business users' computers have continued to rise over the past years, increasing pressure for a widespread tech refresh. When the recession hit, one of the very first levers that IT managers pulled to lower their IT costs was to extend the life of their existing desktops from 4 to 5 years and laptops from 3 to 4 years. Many more have held off on refreshing their systems even longer because they're looking to tie in their PC upgrade with their Windows 7 deployment. And for businesses, and for educational institutions, I dare say, deploying Windows 7 is not that easy. We have to verify that every one of the specialized programs that runs that our faculty run or that a business runs are compatible with Windows 7. In fact, I know of two for us that aren't. So we are not deploying Windows 7 yet because we simply can't. Our faculty can't give up those research tools, and those research tools don't yet run under Windows 7. So what's a mother to do?
There you go.
So the question for you, and it is our poll of the week. If you go to our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, you will be able to vote in our poll. And the question is, are you ready to upgrade to Windows 7? And the choices are, I've been ready, I already did, I'll wait until my next hardware upgrade, I hate leaving Windows XP, and don't you mean downgrade to Windows 7? That's for all you Linux users, Mac users, and people who love XP. So far, we have about 43 votes in the poll. And not surprisingly, don't you mean downgrade to Windows 7 is number one on our list, followed by I hate leaving Windows XP, followed by I already did, then I'll wait until my next hardware upgrade, and I've been ready. So please vote in the poll. Oh, and when you're done voting in the poll, I know you've got a lot more to say about this than just making some noise in it by pushing a button. So underneath the poll, you'll see a yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website. That's AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Well done. And you can... Oh, see, now he's finding them all and he's having fun. And you'll be able to put in an opinion, as seven other people have already done. So please feel free to do that. And then check out what I do there. I have a newsletter. I have a search where you can search all my old questions and answers and tips and tricks and rants and raves and everything else. It's only $15 a year, well worth at least that much, I personally believe. And then come back and join us at soundbites.org. We have a forum. We have a lot of interesting people doing lots of fun things. And, of course, give us a call here. We want to know how ready you are to move to Windows 7, or if you've already moved, how happy you are with Windows 7. Give us a call. In the 585 area code, it's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, it's toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
You know how last night in Second Life, Lolly was going on about her long words?
Yeah.
So I got into that part of the fun form and doing the words, and I came up with two of them for her, both of them. Just going on, just as, you know, I've done that in other forms. It's a lot of fun.
We're having fun in the forums these days. We have forums at soundbites.org, and there's a number of them, but down at Fun Stuff, we've now got two word games going on. One is you put in a phrase, two-word or more phrase, and then the next person has to start their phrase with the last word of your phrase. And then the other one...
A
lot of people didn't quite get that.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize it could be more than two words. I thought...
It is only two words.
No, maybe you're right. I'll have to go... Jeez, I'm going to have to... RTF.
I know, now you got to agree to me too now. And then Lolly has started one with the same syllable at the beginning and end of the word, a word that has the same syllable.
Leave it up to her.
The only one I could come up with was isthmusism, and that's apparently not a...
On the Big Bang Theory, they played a game similar to that, but you had to use elements on the periodic table. The next element had to start with the same letter that the previous element ended with.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And so you throw out, you know, something crazy.
And you can't, well, and also you
can't. And then
can't,
you have to know all the elements.
Well, you can't repeat them. So eventually you run out. There aren't that many that start, for example, with a P. Of course, there aren't that many that end with a P. So I guess you're all right there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. And I know this is going to be a shock. For those of you who are driving, please pull over because we don't want you to be shocked by this. But our first caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
You guys slay me. Okay. I had, when I got my computer a couple of years ago, I had Nero 7. Well, I can burn DVDs, but I can't play them. So now I am looking for your recommendation on the best free DVD burner and player.
Well, playback depends on software in your computer. There are two different programs.
And did you close the session?
I can burn with Nero. They're letting me burn it, but I want to play it.
Well, typically, Windows Media
is over.
Right, yeah. Nero is not a player; it's a burner.
Windows Media Player should play DVDs.
Right, and
the
so
problem
should...
is you need the MPEG-2 codec.
Right,
which you should often have to buy
Windows
separately.
Yeah,
not always.
Well, it
comes with the computer.
Yeah,
with Windows.
Well, I can't afford much of anything. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
I burned it okay, but it wants to play in Nero. It wants to play in Nero, and I don't know how to change that.
In your file association table.
Ah.
Well, one thing you can do is start your DVD player program, and
here's one.
And then open up the DVD.
Oh, you have to pay for these.
Well, VLC ought to be able to do
it. Yeah, VLC does it, yeah. And actually, there was a cute thing with Handbrake. There's a free player, VLC, from Videoland.org, that will play back DVD formats and also plays back most other video format and even some of the weird video formats. And it includes the MPEG-2 playback codec that you need, which you have to purchase extra for Windows. A lot of times it comes with the DVD burner drive. Sometimes it doesn't. Roxio makes one. CyberLink makes one. It comes built into Windows Vista. It's part of the Windows Media Player or Media Center edition. So if you have XP Home or XP Pro, you don't get that feature. You have to buy Windows Media Player or Vista or 7, which come with it built in.
Yeah, see, I've got Windows XP Pro, and I'm...
But Videoland should do it.
I'm having a lot of problems.
Because there was a tech note from Handbrake, which allows you to rip your DVDs, your physical DVDs, to play on your own computer.
Well, like I say,
and they made a tech note in their recent version. They're not including the MPEG decoder anymore. but you can use VLCs. So right. VLC yeah. has it.
VLC yeah, at videolan.org. Steve will put a link in the...
That one I use all the time because I've had...
I love VLC.
It you know, unlike Media Player and Real Player and all those over that wants to totally take over your whole machine and do other things too, VLC, I've switched to that, and it just works phenomenal. Okay. And it works with all, you know, everything that I've tried to pull down or look at.
So, Linda, give that a try. It's at videolan.org.
Okay. Now
I like their icon. It's a white and orange traffic cone.
Yes.
You've got me confused. Now, let me see if I understood you. I can burn it with Nero. That's not a problem.
Right.
Now, will VLC, once I... Because I went into my computer and clicked on that, and usually it says open with, but it doesn't.
Well, if you install VideoLAN, the theory is it will take over the player format. If you say yes... Right? Oh. It'll ask you, do you want me to take over these formats? You say yes.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work quite that way, then what you can do is once you put in your DVD, start up VideoLAN, go to play, and under file, say play DVD.
Ah, okay.
Okie doke.
So see, I made number one this week. How about that?
Unbelievable. We're thrilled for you.
Have a good weekend.
Have fun, Linda.
Bye.
It's not actually a contest.
No.
I don't know if we... if we knew that. But yes, VLC, I think, is a terrific program. It's absolutely free, and it's a great piece of software. It's available for all operating systems, Windows, Mac, Linux, the BOS, everything. I don't know what it isn't available for. So check it out. You know, not just Ubuntu, but all versions of Linux. Debian, Ubuntu, Mandriva, Fedora, OpenSUSE, Red Hat, Slackware, Alt, Arch, as well as Windows, Mac OS 10, Syllable, the BOS, FreeBSD, all the BSDs, Gentoo, Solaris, QNX.
It does.
It's even QNX, so you can play it on your little handheld media player that run QNX.
So. It also does video streaming, which not many of the other video players will do. So,
right.
So streaming sources from the internet.
One other important news item.
Yeah?
The Rumballs are fermenting.
They are in process.
Rumballs, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the Rumballs.
We should explain to folks.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Somebody had to say it.
I wonder if Rob will show up for that show. We got to decide what show we're going to do.
I think we'll have a line out the door for that show.
Yeah. We got to figure out what.
Oh, we deserve it the Saturday, the 26th.
Oh, definitely. Then.
We're going to be here the 26th. So
yeah.
And those of you who are sitting around... like stunned oxen after
wondering
Christmas.
What we're talking about.
Tune in. But yeah, what we're talking about now is I'll say it because he'll never say it. He makes the best rum balls I have ever tasted in my entire life. Dave makes his own rum balls. They're made with, I think it's 700-year-old Jamaican rum or something. It's just,
Antigua,
excuse me. I don't care where it's from. It's a magic
it's
land.
Good stuff.
It's you open it up and fairy dust comes out of the bottle, apparently. It's let's just say potent would be the politest word you could use for this stuff.
No open flames.
Yeah, it is quite tremendous in its workings, and Dave is kind enough to share far too many of them with us every year.
I think that might even get Rob in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. He'll
of course his I hope this year though. Remember his mom used to always send cookies to us.
That's right.
I'm going to have to speak to her and make sure, you know, that he doesn't hoard them. Oh, I meant to get him down here.
Yeah. He's done that before, too.
So we know he's listening.
Yes, he is. He'll start messing up the board now just to get back at you. Watch him.
I got Linda here. She can help bail me out.
There you go. But Dave makes these great rum balls, and he brings in enough to feed an army, and the four of us every year have managed to really take care of all of them for him.
Yeah, it's fun. It's one time. I love to cook anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me being the oldest of six, you know, I just always did. And Christmas time is always the best because I always try to come up with different recipes for cookies and all that. And oh, there are so many different out there. You know, I could go blind with all the recipes and everything else, right. But I narrow it down to a few. I mean, your wife has done some fantastic ones too.
My wife is a heck of a cook. There's no question of that.
Some of those cookies, and even Steve's wife there whipped up some one year, and it was like, whoa! Yep. You know, it's fun just to, of course. I don't need the extra weight. The doctor says I'm doing halfway decent. Nothing worse than going to the doctor. You're feeling great. Then he sits there and says, you know, you could lose a little more weight.
Now, I've never had that experience, you know that?
That's why I don't go to doctors.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they tell me bad things all the time.
Yeah, but you know,
I've actually been losing weight. This is the problem I'm having right now. I'm in between belt loops.
Yeah.
It is the worst thing. It's either a little too tight and it's uncomfortable, or it's a little too loose and you worry every time you stand up. You know, I haven't had any problems really one way or the other yet, but I always worry in that in-between part. I've dropped about 3 inches off my waist, and it gets annoying after a while. All right. Do we have time for a call before the break? I don't think we do.
No, let's tell you what.
Why don't you turn your mic on?
Turn your mic on.
Oh, sorry about that. No, let's get ready to go to break, and we'll handle that call as soon as we come back.
All right, so we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and Sam, who is waiting patiently on the line. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are not only online at soundbites.org and in Second Life at Finger Lakes Island, but we are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 and Sound Bites wish you a happy holiday season.
Army Specialist Andrew Pike became paralyzed while serving in Iraq.
My injury was a gunshot wound to the left abdomen from a sniper. My first contact with paralyzed veterans was in Walter Reed.
Paralyzed veterans and National Service Officer Michael Killen.
We try to reassure them what benefits are out there, try to educate them and take some of that stress away from them.
Right now I'm going back to school to earn a degree, and I'm just spending time with my wife and child.
You can help our paralyzed veterans. Visit pva.org.
Hi, I'm Laurel Ann Romeo, host of A Request Thursday evenings from 6 to 9 p.m., wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays from all of us at Jazz 90.1 and Jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is pleased to present Frank Sinatra, New York, the radio special, on Monday, December 14th from 6 to 7 p.m.
Start spreading the news.
This one-hour special highlights some of the landmark performances by Frank Sinatra in New York, or the Apple, as he used to call it. You'll also hear from some of his longtime friends, including the incomparable Tony Bennett. This special airs 2 days after what would have been Frank Sinatra's 94th birthday. That's Frank Sinatra, New York, the radio special, December 14th from 6 to 7 p.m.
New York, New York.
Only on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave
Edwards. I'm Steve Ray.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Sound Bites. Just before we get to Sam, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to that Frank Sinatra thing. It should be pretty tasty hour of music. I'm looking forward to it. And in that vein, happy birthday, Mr. Sinatra.
You ever watch
on this date in 1915 in Hoboken, New Jersey, U.S. of A.
Ever watch Family Guy animated series?
Never.
Frank Sinatra Jr. Does duets. All that he's been on half a dozen times does duets with Brian, the dog played by Seth MacFarlane, who has a wonderful voice. And so they do these musical numbers all the time.
Cool. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Sam. Where are you calling from, Sam?
West Henrietta.
West Henrietta, how are things out there?
Dry and cold.
Okay, what can we do for you?
I got a couple questions, if I may ask them.
Sure.
I just bought a Windows 7.
Yep.
And I'm trying to transfer information off my Windows 98. Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
That's a manual process.
I put my flash drive in, and it tells me you haven't got the driver for it.
And the Windows 98 box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, Prime first edition or second edition?
I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you needed at least second edition for USB.
Because what I just had to do, I had to do the same thing for a client. He wound up getting one of these new HP small little suitcase boxes. And I literally had to take out his old hard drive, a 98 machine, hook it up to my test bench, and then grab the files, his documents, and everything else, and move it over my network to this new machine.
Do you have a CD burner in the old machine?
No.
Yeah.
Is it on the internet?
No. I haven't got a phone. I disconnected my phone. I just got the Roadrunner for Windows 7.
Yeah, well,
you could plug the old computer in, and won't it get on the internet too?
It didn't work. I tried that before I got Windows 7. It doesn't go anywhere.
There's something wrong in the computer then, because it should get on the internet, no problem.
Unless there's no Ethernet card.
Yeah, you have an Ethernet card in?
It wasn't set up. That's what I had to do with this one, too. Again, it was so old. I have another device.
Is LapLink still around? There are programs that were designed to go between parallel ports, but the new computer probably doesn't have a parallel port.
Yeah, or serial. It was either serial or the one that, and again,
there are chassis you can buy.
Tornado would do it, but Tornado, again, then you got to get the drivers for
USB,
the Tornado.
Yeah.
There
are chassis you can buy, so you pull the hard drive out of the old computer, put it in a chassis, which makes it then an external hard drive you plug into the new computer. That'd be one way to do it. Or if you're handy tinkering like that, you may be able to mount the old hard drive as a slave drive in the new computer.
If the new
computers are probably SATA, some of them also have IDE for the old computers.
I'm finding more and more don't.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them I've found, the hard drives are SATA, but the optical drives are still IDE.
Right.
So you can use that connection.
At this point, Sam, I think your best bet is to take it to somebody like Dave or Steve and have them do the transfer for you, I'm afraid. When a machine is that old and there's not that much left that supports
and you don't have the tools to do it yourself. You can buy the tools to do it, or that ends up being about the cost of a transfer from a service shop like
right. And it's certainly not something you're going to do again anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, what would a transfer cost? I mean, ballpark.
You're probably looking at maybe around $100.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ballpark.
Ballpark. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, can I fax without a landline?
There are internet fax services where you send an email and it shows up as a fax. We use our Magic Jack, which gives you telephone service over the internet to send faxes. Because then Magic Jack is $20 a year for unlimited telephone service over the internet. It was funny sending faxes over the internet. We actually had an old computer we needed to use dial-up for. So I hooked the Magic Jack to that computer, so it was dialing through the Magic Jack to do voice over IP to call into a dial-up service.
A Magic Jack will work.
Yeah, and also there's eFax, MyFax, Fax, eFax, MyFax, Fax Zero.
Yeah, there's several services which basically turn an email into a fax. So you email this special address, and they end up sending a fax to your recipient. And if someone tries to fax you, you get a phone number that they fax to, and it shows up in your email.
Fax away, fax beep.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them out there.
Okay. Thanks, guys. You're very informative.
Thank you so much. Glad we could help.
Yeah, faxing has been almost replaced by email, except, ironically, signatures. For bank or corporate stuff, they fax you, and you have to sign it and fax it back. A faxed signature counts legally, but a scanned signature in an email doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
Which reminds me of two things. One, I got to say thank you to the young lady. I was over at the Golden Fox having dinner last night, and had one lady come up, and she goes, "Are you Dave Enner?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Would you please tell Nick, Steve, and you, I am so glad that you guys are back on. The show is a hoot. I'm loving it. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And it's like in the middle of this restaurant, and everybody else going, "Huh?
We love to hear that."
Yeah, that was really fantastic. The second thing, I don't know what mental midgets they hired. This is sort of like a side mini rant. Engineers to design the newer machines. And what I mean by that, and here's just for folks So when you go shopping, beware. You know, they'll sit there and tell you, oh, well, it's got six USB ports on the back.
Are they plugged into the motherboard anywhere?
Well, no. What they don't, you know, they tell, oh, well, yeah, it's got six of them on the back. What they forget to tell folks, oh, by the way, the keyboard and mouse takes up two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did away the PS2 ports. I don't understand why.
It's cheaper. It's 10 cents cheaper to leave that port off, multiplied by hundreds of millions of computers.
Yep.
And that's exactly the reason. Yeah. It's cheaper to do it the other way.
But I can see it, you know, getting rid of a parallel port. You got rid of parallel ports and you got rid of serial ports. There's two. Leave those two and give me more USB ports. I'd like to have, oh, the PS2 ports for the keyboard and mouse. And then, oh, six or eight USB ports on the back. Yep. Most devices nowadays require the USB.
It's an opportunity to sell USB hubs.
Right. The good news is you can put a USB hub on it. You can put a powered hub or an unpowered hub. And that's at least something.
And that's where also I ran into an issue. There's some devices doesn't like working off those hubs.
That's
it's
right.
It's got to be plugged right in there.
That's right.
So for most desktops, you can then get a USB card to add more internal powered hubs.
Right. Yeah,
and the other thing is the controllers, how many USB controllers there are. You're limited to a certain amount of power for all your USB ports on that controller. So you may have 10 USB ports on your computer, but if there's only one controller, you may not be able to run three or four devices.
And the other key thing that, you know, and it's already started up, and I got to caution folks this week. Everybody's going out shopping, and they're going to pick up a game, say, for their kids to do this game or that game. Take the time, please, folks, take the time to read the side of that requirements. I've already had one person bring in a computer, and the game said, can you get this working on this? And Sam brought it in, and I put it up on the bench and looked.
More
and
RAM, said, yep. New motherboard, new processor, new graphics card.
Exactly. Yeah. He needs a whole new system because this one just ain't going to cut it. There's just no way. The processor speed isn't fast enough.
Especially
take the time and check it out, folks.
Especially for games. If your computer's more than a year or so old, you cannot run the latest game.
And here's the hint. A lot of folks sit there and say, oh, but I don't know what I have. The easiest way you can go is go into the control panel and under system, the system icon, the first page that splashes up, it'll tell you what version of Windows you're running, especially XP and that, and it will tell you how much memory and the speed of your processor. Those are the two usually key ones.
Well, and the
along
video card.
With, and that's where I was going to say, next would be the video card. But, you know, I mean, usually if the processor isn't going to cut it.
Right, and then you're already done.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful. This is the season to be buying the games. You got to be careful.
Yeah, well, check, though.
I have a great news item here from our friends at StopTheCap.com. Phil Dampier. AT&T Mobility, which is still the exclusive provider of Apple's iPhone in the United States, is floating trial balloons about the imminent end of unlimited data plans for iPhone customers. Although the company's fine print says that unlimited really means up to 5 gigabytes of usage per month, the mandatory data plan forced on iPhone customers has retained its unlimited means unlimited definition. AT&T has managed the iPhone as both a success story and a major challenge to its network. People will go to all sorts of trouble to acquire and keep an iPhone, including putting up with less 3G coverage and more congestion-related dropped calls and other service problems in some larger cities. Considering the enormous revenue boost the iPhone has brought to AT&T, customers might wonder why the company simply doesn't pour additional money into building more network capacity. AT&T Mobility CEO Ralph DeLaVega doesn't agree. He believes the answer isn't going to be found in just upgrading AT&T's network. Instead, he wants to implement an internet overcharging scheme like consumption billing and do away with the unlimited plan altogether. AT&T claims that 3% of smartphone customers consume 40% of network capacity. Of course, those numbers are AT&T's and do not come with independent verification. For DeLaVega, consumption pricing is inevitable. That allows AT&T to reduce demand on its network and manage upgrades at a level more comforting on that quarterly financial report. What's driving high usage are things like video or audio that plays around the clock, DeLaVega said at an analyst's conference. We have to get to those customers and get them to recognize that they have to change their patterns, or there are things we will do to change those patterns for them. We need to educate the customer. We've got to get them to understand what represents a megabyte of data, De La Vega said. We're improvising, we're improving all our systems to let consumers get real-time information on their data usage. That's the AT&T version of the gas gauge, the usage meter that means more profits for them and less service for you. So, particularly for you iPhone users, but indeed for all of you smartphone users, whether it's an iPhone, a BlackBerry, a Droid, whatever.
And even all of the services that say unlimited, the fine print says 5 gigabytes.
Although nobody's really, not too many people have actually been hit by that.
Yeah.
Are you ready? The question for all of you folks is, are you ready to help poor AT&T with their data problems by paying more for your service? Give us a call and tell us what you think. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or of course toll free 1-800-790-0415. My opinion is that the day AT&T institutes that, there's going to be a run on droids.
Yeah. Well, Verizon,
the other companies are much more likely to do that 5 gigabyte cap. What's interesting though is they don't actually stop your usage at 5 gigabytes; they just slow you way down. So technically, it still is unlimited.
Right,
you don't get all the speed the whole time. Have you seen the Time Warner commercials about the rollover? So some of the TV networks that sell their content to the cable company, I want to raise their prices, and so the cable company is running these commercials about, do you want us to roll over and raise the prices, or do you want us to fight and raise the prices?
Yeah, right. Right. All right. Our next caller is Richmond. Where are you calling from, Richmond?
I don't know. You tell me, Nick.
Probably right from the public market.
Yeah, all these companies are going to, I think, sooner or later, going to try to go to these plans where they charge for bandwidth. And it's just like you said, it's a revenue maker. It's ridiculous for AT&T to say, "Well, upgrading their network is not going to fix the issue." It's crazy.
Well, it's going to postpone the issue. The big problem is that previous smartphones have never been used like the iPhone was. So they could say unlimited and nobody cared because it really, right, no one used that much. Now with the iPhone, people are using unlimited data, really unlimited.
Yeah. And it's, well, I taxing know people networks. Who do that, yeah, a lot. You were sitting there on your XM radio,
yeah,
thing, but you were doing that over the wireless.
Yeah.
You could have been doing that over your phone. If you were out in your car,
yep,
and you had an iPhone, you might be doing that over the data network,
oh,
which
definitely
would be taking some of their bandwidth. The other day, I was listening to Pandora Radio on my G1 Android phone. And again, I was doing it over the wireless, but I could as easily have been doing it over the data, yep, plan. And I know many people who drive around all day listening to music. And because they're driving around,
yeah,
they're doing it off the data plan. No, you're right, Richmond. I think that more and more of them are going to go for pay for play. But I'll tell you right now, all that has to happen is for AT&T to announce this and then for Verizon to say, hey, everybody, come on over here. It's all you can eat.
Okay, two quick questions. Nick, you have an Android. Do you like it as compared to the iPhone? And USB 3, is it worth buying, getting a card for USB 3 at this point? What are you guys thinking about that?
I tell you what, I have both the an Android-based G1 that a friend of mine is letting me borrow to evaluate, an iPod Touch. So in both cases, I mostly use network bandwidth. Obviously, I'm not using the phone network, so I can't tell you. But in Rochester, I'm given to understand that both are very high quality, and which I don't. One's maybe marginally faster. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I like them both. I like the Android a little better because of some of the things that it does and the way it works. It just makes a little more sense to me. But both of them are fine. But I love the Android. I find myself using it more than I use the iPod Touch, honestly. The main thing that I can't do on the G1, you can do it on the Android, on the Droid, because it's using Android 2.0, and I only have 1.5 on the G1. On the G1, I cannot get at my corporate email at the Exchange server at RIT. I can on the iPod Touch, and that's really the only reason I'm still carrying the iPod Touch. I like them both. I won't say anything bad about them. I tend to gravitate more toward the G1.
Okay. USB 3.
In terms of USB, I don't know of a lot of USB 3 devices yet. I think Buffalo
released a CD burner, which is interesting.
There's only a couple of devices.
You can't burn that fast anyway.
Right. There's only a couple of devices that take advantage of it yet, and except for Linux, Windows 7 now has a driver. So except for Linux and Windows 7, I don't know that you're going to find any operating system that uses USB 3 yet. So I don't see any reason to be the first one to jump in. Also, USB 3 cards are a little more expensive right now. If you have a device that uses them, it's well worth the cost because USB 3 is hella fast. So that's kind of nice.
But FireWire 3200 will be even faster. They're leapfrogging each other. But
yeah,
still, USB is cheaper. FireWire is faster, and that's cheaper is winning.
I wish Apple would get smart and just let FireWire loose and let it, drop the prices on the royalty so that we can use it more.
I think it's a device doesn't sound like much, but when you sell millions of devices.
And USB 3 is due to come out.
Well, actually, what's interesting is the FireWire logo you have to license from Apple. The IEEE spec 1394, you do not. That is a standard specification. 1394A is FireWire, 400B is 800, and C is 1600, and they skipped, and I think they're doing D now at 3200. So anyone can make a FireWire compatible device, but if they want to call it FireWire, they have to pay the license.
Right.
Oh. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have fun, Richmond. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites. Wish you a happy holiday season.
Finally!
Honey, they had 34 shades of white paint. Come on, it was a tough decision.
So what did you get?
Ultra Premium Puffy Cloud White.
And that'll match?
I have no idea. There's another can in the car. I just want to sit for a sec.
Are you okay?
Two out of three people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, but you can lower the risk. Ask your healthcare provider how. For more info, go to diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm morning host Joelle Van Buren, wishing you and yours the merriest, the happiest, the most joyful holiday season ever. Along with all of us here at Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by RARES, the Regional Area Recreation and Employee Services Association. RARES is a not-for-profit membership association that provides discounts and savings on over 400 area and national products and services to more than 260 companies. For more information, you may visit www.rares.org. That's RARES.org.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Let me first say, Rares works for me. I just got a heck of a nice discount on my car with the folks from Rares. Thanks to the great folks at...
How are you enjoying that? The little time that you get to drive.
Yeah, the little time I get to drive. As it turns, I bought a Nissan Cube, and I absolutely love it. And as it turns out, my wife loves driving it, too. So, sometimes I want to drive it, she wants to drive it. We compromise, she drives it. So...
You'll just have to get another one.
I
was following a great Cube the other day. Oh, hey, no, it's not Nick.
It's not the Soundbites.
He gets one, his wife gets one, and his daughter gets one. Yeah. Three cubed.
Yeah, then think of the mess of three
then,
identical keys.
And then you're back to PC cubed.
No. You know what he can do? On the hood, put ho. And then each one of them, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, my wife's already said she's going to get me a Rudolph nose for mine. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know that I want the antlers. Listen, before we go on, I do want to...
No, that's the fuzzy thing on the dashboard.
Yeah, no, that's, I do not have the little dashboard Merkin thing. That's the what do they call that? The dash shag topper. It's in my trunk, but I didn't put it up. What I put up instead
Velcro
was
it to the hood.
Yeah, exactly. You know that grippy stuff that you use to open cans? I have a circle of that there, and I can put stuff on it. And it never moves. It's great.
Yep.
But let me give a shout out before we get going, Mr. Jim Suss, friend of the show, Jim Suss, in Atlanta. Atlanta, Georgia, probably where they're having lovely weather. We hate you, just so you know. But we want to thank you so much for all your contributions to everything we have done, and we very much appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And he's a listener.
And we know he's listening because apparently there's not much to do in Atlanta on a Saturday morning. Anyway.
Well, when you get one gorgeous day after another, you don't have to sit there and shovel.
It's 39 and cloudy right now in Atlanta.
It's still 42 degrees warmer than it is here.
Yeah.
And cloudy is our natural state.
And how much snow do you think they're shoveling?
Yeah.
I'd say zero.
Zip.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but don't forget, 39 for them, they're going, holy cow, it's a...
Yeah, the whole city will close down. It's 39.
Exactly.
My one friend there, Wyoon, down in South Carolina, he goes, this is back a while. Because they get an inch or two of snow, and the state closed down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, the snow that we got Thursday. So, have to worry about things? And no, just a minor inconvenience.
My aunt moved to Silver Spring, Maryland. And the first year, they had a little bit of a snowfall, barely a dusting. She goes out. She gets in her car. She's got her snow tires on. She bundles up. She goes out to visit some of her friends. She's a little bird of a woman. She weighed 42 pounds. She had bricks in her pocket. And she's going, and all her friends are going, oh, my God, Rose, how did you come out? How did you get out in all of this? She looks out. The snow's not even up to her hubcaps. We think of that as May.
Yeah, really. That's just a slight inconvenience.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our next caller is Dottie. Where are you calling from, Dottie?
Pittsford.
Pittsford, New York. What can we do for you?
Well, I was thinking about getting my 62-year-old mom a Christmas gift of a computer, but she doesn't know how to use them. And I had heard about a place called SeniorNet, but I don't know what it is or where it is. Well, do you know anything about that or can make some recommendations?
Yes. One that I can tell you that's very good is JCC.
Well, that is SeniorNet at the JCC.
Yeah. JCC, I didn't know that. But JCC, if you call them, they'll send you a whole listing or even go to their webpage.
And rnyseniornet.org.
Okay.
I just spoke at SeniorNet a couple of weeks ago.
They have some great programs just from even very basic, you're new to computers, to classes on word processing, email, the whole nine yards. And the other one to check out also is check out BOCES or in your own town. See, quite often within the towns, if you call, say, the town hall and say, do you have any continuing ed classes or that? They'll sponsor them sometimes in the library or that type of stuff. But try those three venues.
That sounds great.
They do computer training. There's an introduction to computers, using Word, take control of Windows, introduction to digital photography, things like that.
That sounds great.
Internet and email, how to use Google. They're basically 8 2-hour lessons per class, which does two things. It lets each of the seniors learn at their own pace, and let me be honest, gets them out of the house.
That's not a bad thing. And by
no,
any
it
way,
isn't.
Check them out. Senior RNY, which I guess is Rochester, New York, SeniorNet.org. All one word, RNYSeniorNet.org.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, we had three or four of us from CIDR, Rick Harrison and Keith Jackson, just did a presentation at SeniorNet on the iPod Touch and all the cool things you can do with it. And everyone was amazed.
Yep.
Because a lot of people don't realize, the iPod Touch is an iPod, but it's also a handheld Wi-Fi appliance. It's kind of hard to describe.
It essentially is an iPhone without a phone.
It's a phone without the phone and without the $100 a month subscription
and
fee.
And I love my iTouch.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. They're nice.
Well, like you said, I was out.
Oh, wait, we're still on there, too. That was the last seminar. Our Apple seminar was there.
All right. Speaking of all this stuff about phones and all of that, the Federal Communications Commission got a slap on the wrist Thursday from federal auditors for not doing enough to protect wireless subscribers. The Government Accountability Office issued a report that said the FCC needs to improve oversight of the wireless industry to protect consumers. The agency said the FCC needs to do a better job enforcing consumer protection rules and educating the public about how they can submit complaints when they have experienced problems with their carriers. The report was requested by Representative Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, when he was chairman of the House Subcommittee on Telecommunications and the Internet. The survey of more than 1,100 cell phone users found that the vast majority of wireless subscribers, 84% to be exact, are satisfied with their mobile phone service, which is good news for the industry. But for the millions of wireless consumers who are dissatisfied, the report determined that the FCC is not doing enough to help them resolve their problems or protect their interests. One of the biggest issues uncovered in the report is the fact that carrier early termination fees are preventing dissatisfied customers from switching carriers. The report found that among consumers who wanted to switch carriers but did not, about 42% said they didn't switch because of the early termination fees that carriers charge customers when they end their contracts early. These fees apply to consumers who sign up for carrier contracts and buy a subsidized device. The fees can cost anywhere between $150 and $350. So our question to you, are you happy with your cell phone's carrier fees and service? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, which is 5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. If you're calling on your cell phone, good luck getting through.
That's one of the issues in the cell phone industry that in America, that's quite a bit different than the rest of the world. You know, in America, you buy a $600 phone for $200.
Right.
Because the carrier knows you're going to subscribe for 2 years.
Right.
So, and that's their reasoning, that if you cancel your plan, they want their $400 back that they gave the handset maker.
Right.
So it's in Europe and most of the rest of the world, they're used to paying $500, $600 for the cool new phone, but then they can use any carrier they want. Without these two-year contracts. That seems to be a pretty much U.S.-only thing.
Right. Well, we'll change eventually. And their data networks are actually much faster than ours, too.
It hasn't been an issue in the U.S. until the iPhone.
Right.
And people realizing we're locked into this contract. It's only available from AT&T. It's the first real big phone that people have wanted other carriers and have changed their carrier for.
Right. Right, and it's really the first one that the early termination fee is so high.
Right.
All right, our next caller is Dan.
Say Verizon just raised their termination fee from $200 to $400, so you don't
leave. Droid, same idea.
Yeah.
Right. Our next caller is Dan. Where are you calling from, Dan?
Calling from Webster.
Where life is worth living.
Right.
And what can we do to help you make your life more worth living with your computer?
Well, I've been looking at thinking about upgrading to Windows 7, and I find out that my graphics doesn't support the full Windows 7 experience, I guess. So my motherboard has a slot for a PCI Express X16 connector. And when I look on various places where you buy video cards, they always seem to talk about a PCI Express 2 X16 board. And I'm wondering if that's compatible with my motherboard.
There's PCI Express 1 and there's PCI Express 2. And then in each specification, there's different speeds. So the 16X is the speed of the bus. You have to check with the card itself if it's backward compatible to PCI Express 1 slots.
Okay.
And you have to check the motherboard for the manual for your motherboard to see if yours is PCI Express 1 16X or PCI Express 2 16X.
I see. Yeah, the information just says PCI Express. It doesn't say one or two.
And
so
it's probably one.
Probably one, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so it does make a difference, and you do have to make sure you get a card that will plug into the one version.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, that was my question.
There you go.
Thank you.
And this is what we like to see, what we were talking about earlier. It's not just people who get things. It's people who look to see they're getting the right thing, the usable thing, the proper thing for them. We love to see that sort of thing. Well done, Dan.
And it's so tricky because of these types of numbers flying around and the words people don't know. It makes it very difficult to know if you are getting the right thing or not.
Right, right. Okay, our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
Walcott, New York.
Walcott, wow. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a problem with my DSL, I believe.
Okay.
I have the desktop upstairs, and I have two laptops. And sometimes when you load a page, it just sits there. It doesn't go anywhere. And you have to hit refresh, and then it will load. And it's entirely random, it seems. You know, you'll get five work in a row, and then, you know, the next three won't,
yeah.
And then, you know, 10 will, and one won't. I'm a user instead of the administrator. I have AVG running, and I have Zone Alarm. I don't know if those have anything to do with
it. Now, what's likely happening at this point, Tom, a lot of people are experiencing these slowdowns on the net right now. There's three places there could be a problem. Yes, it could be your problem, your machine or your DSL or whatever, but that's less likely at the moment. It is more likely that either the other end is having trouble because it's being hit so hard, or the DNS servers between you and them are slow. And we're seeing a lot of that. The DNS servers work like this. DNS is domain name services.
Right.
And when you type in, for example, soundbites.org, the internet doesn't understand soundbites.org.
Right.
Right? They understand 129.21.31.88.
Right.
And the only way they get that is they go to a domain name server and say, what does this mean? And the domain name server comes back and says, oh, what they really meant was this number. Right? Now,
right.
The domain name servers, there were originally three. Now there's eight main ones, but tens of thousands of other ones. And it is possible that your provider's domain name server is slow, or the one upstream for them, or one of the big ones is slow right now. So you can tell where your problem is, by the way, by looking at the lower right corner of your... What browser are you using?
I use Firefox.
Good. If you look at the lower right corner, you see that little done down there? When you get to a web page, it says done.
Oh,
as
right.
you're going to a web page, it'll say looking up soundbites.org or waiting for soundbites.org.
Or transferring from.
And oh, then transferring from, right.
Happens.
And so whichever one it spends the most time on, you know that's where your block is.
Okay.
And it's generally not going to be you, frankly.
Okay.
Particularly if you have more problems on the weekends than during the week, or more problems in the evening than during the day. You see, when the internet is most busy.
And one of the things you can do now to change and test to see where things are going is change your DNS in your computer. Both the Open DNS service and Google's DNS allow you to use different DNS providers, so that theoretically it may be faster than using your ISP's DNS, which is typically how computers are set up.
Okay.
Google's DNS is 8.8.8.8.
And 8.8.4.4.
So it's
great
easy to remember.
Names. Great numbers, rather.
Yeah.
However, somebody did a test and Open DNS is actually faster.
But
now.
I don't like Open DNS search redirection.
Right, 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 right.
Which is how they're making their money. If you type in, you know, Apple, you get a search page that says, did you mean apple.com? And by going to that search page, in fact, Frontier and Time Warner locally have both started
doing
that.
They do the same thing.
And you have to turn that off.
And yeah, that annoys me because sometimes I'll type, you know, apple.cojm or comi or whatever. And
right.
all
and
I
the
have
browser
to do is
used
go
to fix
up,
that.
All I have to do is go up and, you know, hit backspace and I'm fixed. But by the time I do that, I've now gone to a whole other search page and
yeah.
I have to type in the whole thing again now.
You can go to your preference page. And in fact, for Time Warner or Frontier, when that happens, there's a little tiny link in the upper right. No one notices. It says, why am I here?
Yeah.
And there's a preference there where you can opt out of that search phrase.
Right.
So how do I change my DNS?
Well, that's a longer story.
Well, for your single computer, it would be in your network properties.
Okay.
Although some people will change it in their router. If you have a local router on your network, you can change it there, and then all your computers will use
get
the
it
new
automatically.
DNS.
I see. Okay.
If you have a router, do you?
Yes.
Okay, what you do is you now need to break the beautiful plastic seal off of that manual. that came with it and actually start looking through it, because there is somewhere where you can set the DNS servers, or you can accept the ones that come from your upstream provider.
I see, okay.
And on some of them, you can do both. You can say, I prefer, for example, the Google ones, 8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4. And if those are too busy, then drop down to the ones from my service provider.
Okay.
But it depends on what router you have and what features they've enabled and yada, yada, yada. So you got to look in the manual to figure out how to do that. But once you've done that, you may well find that your searches go faster. Now, none of that will solve the problem if your problem is waiting for soundbites.org or wherever, right?
Okay.
Because now it's found the other end, but the other end is too busy at the moment to immediately answer your request.
I see. Okay.
And let's face it, Tom, the fact that you can ask for a website hundreds of thousands of miles away and you actually get that web page and it may take 2 seconds or 4 seconds, it's still a miracle.
Yeah.
I remember trying to program the traveling salesman problem, and it's a pain.
It is.
What route they take, yeah. And both Google DNS and OpenDNS services have instructions on how to change the DNS on your computer.
There you go. Okay. All right, we are going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and wait a minute, yes, you. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites wish you a happy holiday season.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Once upon a time, old Scrooge sat down before the fire.
Ah, humbug.
With great astonishment, Marley's ghost came through the heavy door and passed into the room.
What do you want with me?
You will be haunted by three spirits.
I'd rather not.
To read A Christmas Carol and other books online, go to www.read.gov. Explore new worlds. Read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
What does it take to create a great jazz radio station? The best jazz music? Sure. Knowledgeable DJs who love the music as much as you do? Naturally. A fine facility with the best equipment? Of course. But what is most important in creating a great jazz radio station is the decision to make it happen. And that is what you do when you decide to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Listeners enjoy a great jazz station, but members make them happen. Keep Jazz 90.1 happening. Call 966-JAZZ, 966-5299 today and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Havana Mo's, located at 125 East Avenue in the East End. One of the only legal smoking bars in the city, Havana Mo's features the East End Jazz Boys live every Saturday night from 9:30 to 2 a.m. For more information, you can call 325-1030.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
You stood for that?
No, I forgot to aim the camera, so I got...
Oh, I see. All right, he's fixing the camera.
Okay.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. The folks in the IRC chat are asking for a rant. We'll be doing that in the next segment, so everybody remain calm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Out there. Except for Dave, who needs to... Yeah, take some time to ramp up. He's old now, you know, and he's he can't just jump into a rant. He's got to work himself up for it.
I thought that was the hallmark of old age, is you could jump into a rant at any time.
Yeah, but the
thing get off my lawn!
The thing of it is you also have to weigh out blood pressure.
So yeah, exactly.
Slowly get
exactly.
Work my way into it.
Oh, I love this news item. When Microsoft told consumers in July that the Windows 7 Family Pack would be sold in limited quantities, they meant it. Last weekend, holiday shoppers and analysts alike noted that the upgrade, which offered three Windows 7 Home Premium licenses for $149, had begun to disappear from online storefronts such as Amazon.com. On December 7th, Microsoft confirmed that the family license cupboard was indeed bare. The Windows 7 Family Pack was introduced as a limited-time offer while supplies lasted in select geographies, a Microsoft spokesrobot said. Response has been very positive, and in some cases, the offer has been sold out.
You'd think they'd wait through Christmas.
On Amazon? Yeah, exactly.
No, you'd think that from the business standpoint, you'd think they'd cancel it before Christmas to make more money.
Well, exactly. On Amazon.com, the only available copies of the Windows 7 Family Pack seemed to come from resellers who were more than happy to charge prices starting at $279.88 as opposed to $149. The product seems to be missing entirely from Microsoft's online store. Customers interested in upgrading their PCs should purchase Home Premium, Professional, or Ultimate Upgrade products, the Microsoft spokesrobot added. A family wanting to install Windows 7 Home Premium on three PCs will now pay around $375 for three copies of the upgrade version. If they buy from Microsoft's online store as opposed to $149, that represents a cost markup of $208. The Windows 7 Family Pack, released along with Windows 7 on October 22nd, was just one of many promotions that Microsoft tied into the release of their newest operating systems. Of course, the Family Pack and the other discounts may well have accomplished Microsoft's goal, at least as far as the company's executives are concerned. A report suggested that Windows 7's share of the overall PC market passed 4% by November 9th, outpacing Windows Vista's rate of adoption, which ain't saying much. Whether Microsoft will revive sort of Windows bulk licensing scheme, it seems a vanishingly small chance, but it's possible, I suppose. For the moment, however, the company seems more than willing to position the Family Pack as a promotional gimmick, which is done now. So give us a call. How do you feel about Microsoft pulling the Family Pack promotion just in time for Christmas? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
There is a new gimmick running now. If you buy a new PC with Windows 7 on it, you can get a second copy of Windows 7 upgrade at 50% off. So when you buy a new PC, they'll sell you a second copy at half price for your old PC.
Well, that's nice of them.
And that offer expires.
Won't work.
Well, that offer expires January 2nd, 2010. So at least they have a firm date on that one.
Right, and as Dave said, if you've got an old computer, Windows 7 probably won't work on it.
And that's why you're buying a new one.
Yeah. Right, that's why you're buying a new one to begin with. So you get this second copy, and now what do you do with it?
Wallpaper.
Right, exactly. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Sal. Where are you calling from, Sal?
Fairport, New York.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I go back to previous topic you had.
Sure.
Frontier and Time Warner, mostly Frontier is the one I'm dealing with, hijacking your browser and sending it off to their Yahoo search page, which they make money off of if you link through them.
Yep.
Right.
I think that's criminal. I end up having to call the FTC about it because it's happened four times. First time, you can turn it off with your preference setting. Second time that didn't work, you had to go in and eliminate all Frontier cookies.
Right.
Third time that didn't work, I ended up calling some supervisor over at tech support, and he said, oh, 24 hours later, because they're doing, I guess, a survey in the Rochester area trial to see if it works or not. And the fourth time I said, you know, this is it. I'm calling FTC in the morning, which I did, and I have a copy of their investigation, and they're going to see how many complaints comes through before they clamp down on Frontier.
Sell you old rabble-rouser.
You get tired of it. You go to the page, and shows up searchguide.frontier.com.
Right.
For the average folk, I can see that's a nice feature. You know, you misspell something, you don't know where you're going. In fact, the one of Google's top 10 search words is yahoo.com.
Yep.
People will Google yahoo.com instead of typing the address yahoo.com because the first hit is yahoo.com. For those of us that know what we're doing and know what we want to do, it's very, very annoying.
I always feel kind of dumb when I go to Google and I type in what I'm looking for, and I see that the first hit is that word as the URL. I always do feel kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were saying,
which
Sal?
Most businesses try to do,
They're just looking for an extra quarter penny or whatever it is. It makes them if you go through their Yahoo search page.
Right.
And unless it's in your bookmark, then you get annoyed. Most people have a bookmark for whatever they're going to, even though they don't search it. They type it in, and it's fine. They don't notice it. But when you're looking for a new site, you have to go through these steps.
And you get so many bookmarks that you forget that you have things bookmarked.
Well, right. Organizing bookmarks is the toughest thing there is.
Well, we'll see. You know, Federal Trade Commission's on this part. I 4 times is more than enough.
I think I agree with you. I don't have a problem with it if I can opt out. But if
it became an extra step
to
every
let
time you,
opt you
wanted
out.
To opt
yeah.
out.
Right.
And that's the part, you know, once you figure out, okay, you could opt out this way, and next time we'll throw in cookies you got to eliminate, then you have to go through a supervisor. I said, that's enough. And I'm not jumping through hoops for you to make an extra penny.
Right. Like I said, I don't mind if I get to click one button somewhere and I've opted out. But if they then make it harder and harder and harder every time to opt out, no thank you.
Now,
I don't need that blood pressure increase like they've
If they share the money with me.
Better things.
If they share the money with me, I wouldn't mind going to a search page.
Exactly. I don't need to make them extra money. They're charging me for it already.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just it. It's like when I go to the movies now and I have to sit through 25 minutes of commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of porks me off.
Well, if you go 20 minutes early, you've got 20 minutes of the other stuff, too.
Well, I like some of the theaters are doing the behind the scenes at movies and whatnot.
Right.
But when it's literal commercials for products completely unrelated to the movie,
constant set of commercials. Then I like the previews.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I enjoy watching the trailers,
but
they're not.
Which is a commercial for another movie.
But unless you but still, I don't mind those. But if I'm going to go and pay money for a ticket, why are you also showing me commercials?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just low class, frankly.
Oh, it's irritating.
It's double dipping, and it's just not right.
A new revenue stream.
And it's a captured audience.
Yeah.
It's not like you can flip the channel.
Oh, speaking of movies, do you hear about the lady that got arrested and spent 3 days in jail?
No, what about the lady that got arrested and spent 3 days in jail?
Wait a minute. He was trying to say something. Yeah. Let the call.
No, he was answering.
Yeah. Sal heard about it. I forget what town it was. Just outside of Chicago. In Illinois, a woman had a birthday party for her sister at a movie theater where they were showing a movie, and that struck me a little odd. They were having the party in the theater.
More and more these days.
Yeah, I've seen parties in the aisles, but we're actually in the theater. She was taking pictures at the party in the theater, accidentally got some of the movie screen in her camera. So the an usher came down and confiscated her camera. The manager called the police, and she was arrested and spent several nights in jail for videotaping a movie in the theater.
You know what? Some people are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I realize that's not PC, but I'm old now, and I don't have to be PC.
Yep.
Some people are morons.
Yep.
I agree with you.
All right, Sal, good luck. Keep us informed. Let us know what happens with that.
Thanks, guys. Sure
please.
Will.
Please. Thanks. And see, you always have alternatives. You always have the stick of the FCC to hang over people's heads. It's It's an interesting issue that, that you know, some people don't care. Some people simply just don't care. Go ahead and show me whatever you want to show me. Sometimes I just get annoyed. If you're double dipping, if I'm paying you once and then I have to pay you again, I think not. I don't go for that. All right, our next caller is Jim. Where are you calling from, Jim?
Goodman Street.
Okay, what can we do for you?
You had a caller that was talking about he couldn't get the stuff off of 98.
Right.
Because the files were too big. Well, I remember a PK zip program years ago.
No, the problem, Jim, the problem wasn't that the programs were too big.
Hey, yeah.
He didn't have any way to connect to the other machine. He had no floppy drive. He had no USB ports. He had no CD drive.
CD burner, no network drive.
No network drive. It wouldn't connect to the network. So how was he going to get the data off the old machine onto the new machine?
He doesn't have a floppy drive?
No, he didn't have any of that. Well, the new machine didn't have a floppy drive.
Right. So you buy a floppy for the new machine, or you buy a network card for the old machine, and it's
money. Trying to figure out a way to do it for free, and there just simply isn't one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to go out and buy something, whether he pays to have the data moved or whatever.
One thing I was thinking, it's probably not likely, when he said he put his flash drive in, it said no drivers found. Right. Maybe the company has 98 drivers for it. Not likely, but maybe.
Right, but how's he going to get them onto that machine?
Onto that machine, on the flash drive.
Right.
That he can't read.
But
yeah.
But you're right, Jim. WinZip is a great product.
It is.
And there's a couple of others, Z something, I forget the name right off the top of my head, but there's a bunch of really good compression programs, and you're absolutely right. If he had some medium that he could compress his data onto to move it over, that would be the perfect solution.
Well, just floppies will do it. That program will make 8 or 9 floppies.
Right, yeah. Right.
You got to swap the first one with the last one and jump through hoops, but it will copy everything. It'll break it up for you.
Right, but the biggest issue is that's one other item that's going by the wayside.
You buy
floppy drives are no longer standard equipment.
$50 for a USB floppy drive on the new machine that you'll use that once and probably never again.
Well, what's being replaced is, at least with my machines, I'm turning around, instead of having a floppy, I'm putting like a 42-in-1 card reader.
Yep.
In there, so you can and you can hook up various media cards. You can pop it in there, or it's got two additional USB ports on the front.
Right, but Jim, you're absolutely right. But his problem was actually that he just didn't have any connectivity from that old machine, and that was the problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Sam. Actually, thanks, Jim.
And the it's hard to say, but the problem is he waited too long between computers. If you buy a new computer every 2 or 3 years, then they'll transfer each other easily. But you wait 10, 15 years, the technology changes too much.
And that's going to happen with a lot of folks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm starting to see it in there now, but they say sales and that are up. You know, Windows 7 is a good system.
Mm-hmm.
Which it is, no denying that. But a lot of folks are still wondering, you know, am I going to have a job next month? You know, I'm seeing a lot of stuff come into my shop. They're saying, can I get at least another year out of it? You know, maybe by next, you know, maybe by spring and tax time and that, I'll be in a better position job-wise and everything else, the economy, hopefully.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the government can sit there and say all they want. Oh, we're done the turnaround.
And they always point to Rochester. Always is one of the cities that is doing better than everywhere else.
No.
Holy cow, we're doing better.
We lag behind everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So as the rest of the economy was doing badly, we were still doing okay. Now they're beginning to turn around, and we're not.
Yeah.
And then eventually we will.
You hate to see someone put a couple hundred dollars into a computer that's only worth a couple hundred dollars.
Well, exactly.
But it's
right.
cheaper than buying a new one. Yeah. And we have.
Sometimes I won't.
Yeah.
I mean,
we had
not
a customer.
To be, you know, that I don't want the work or that.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit there and waste people's money either.
It's a waste of your money. We had a customer this week, had a Performa, which is a 15-year-old Mac, and his only way to get his data was on floppies. So, you know, your new machine, you buy a floppy disk. And then the next question is, what program did you use back then, and can you find anything to read that format today?
Yep.
I don't, even Microsoft Word only goes back to, like, version 6 or 5.
Right.
In backward compatibility, if you're using version 1, you may be out of luck.
Right. It's really, really tough. You've got to keep up, at least in terms of your data formats. Or you use a universal format like RTF for documents.
Yeah.
and that'll always be at least readable.
That's sort of another thing about when you change your machine every three, maybe four years, mm-hmm. you'll be able to migrate your applications, because most programs will go back a couple versions, but many of them don't go back all the versions.
Well, and that's why I advocate open source software.
Yeah.
Honestly, because, for example, if I buy a machine today, and I don't care if it's a Mac or a Linux box or a Windows box, I put OpenOffice on it. That way, all of my programs, the entire Office suite is free. Instead of paying $700 to Microsoft, I get all that stuff for free. And I can upgrade for free as each new version comes out. And so then when I go to buy a new machine and put the newest version on that, it'll still read all my old files. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it saves me bucket loads of money, bucket loads of time, and massive amounts of aggravation. And I'm also telling people, you know, get one of those shared network drives. Now, the question is, who do you trust?
And, it's a shared network drive. Another big thing is internet drives, like
Mozy.
That's really
what I'm saying.
Well, then you got to worry about your bandwidth caps.
You worry about your
bandwidth
caps.
Comcast partnered with Mozy to give you 20 gigabytes of stuff on Mozy that eats up your cap.
Right, that's exactly right. But, for example, you can go to adrive.com. Somebody else was pointing this out to me last week. Go to adrive.com, 50 gigabytes for free. 50 gigabytes for free. Now, do you trust them? Who are they? Et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know that I would necessarily put that document with all my credit card information on it.
No.
But certainly, you know, I want to back up all the kids' stuff or whatever that is, you know, pictures and things like that. Certainly, if I'm transferring them from one machine to another, that free 50 gigabytes of storage works out pretty nicely.
Yep. Especially your photos, because people don't realize your photos are on your computer, and that's the only place they are, usually.
Because you don't have negatives anymore.
Right. No negatives, no prints. Even if you do print it yourself, you got to scan it back in if you lose it. So you lose your hard drive, you lose all of those photos.
Well, that's like I was saying last night in Second Life, that one client that was all upset and in a panties in a wad there because, you know, well, it was on the second drive. And there was only one drive in it. It had been partitioned, and that's where he was
backing it up. Partitioning is not really a separate drive. If that drive dies, the partition also dies.
Yeah.
But everybody, take a look at, you know, there's, and I'm not saying go to adrive.com. It's the only, happens to be the one whose name is in my head at the moment. But there are a bunch of free online services. For those of you who use Ubuntu, there's Ubuntu One. That's only 2 gigabytes. But again, that's certainly a lot, and it makes it easy to transfer.
Dropbox is 2 gigabytes.
Dropbox
for free.
Is 2 gigabytes. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You're listening to Soundbites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites wish you a happy holiday season.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by RARES, the Regional Area Recreation and Employee Services Association. RARES is a not-for-profit membership association that provides discounts and savings on over 400 area and national products and services to more than 260 companies. For more information, you may visit www.rares.org. That's RARES.org.
Tis the season. Oh, hi, it's Eric Gruner. Merry Christmas. I hope this holiday season brings you comfort and joy and jazz on member-supported Jazz 90.1 WGMC Greece, Rochester.
Could you use a tax deduction? Well, when you donate to Jazz 90.1, you get a tax deduction while at the same time you're supporting the great jazz programming you love. You can call 966-JAZZ or go online to jazz901.org. But you have to donate before the end of the year to get the deduction for 2009. Call 966-5299 or visit jazz901.org to make your tax-deductible contribution to Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Oh, I like this music. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We are going to go right back to the phones. We have Bill from Irondequoit on the line. What's your story, Bill?
Okay. My computer, I thought was dying. It turned out, I believe now, to be just the hard drive. The whole thing was freezing up and crashing on me, and I think the hard drive was dying.
Uh-huh.
But I got online, and I purchased a reconditioned HP from, like, a company that gets commercial ones back, and they recondition them or recertify them, whatever, and sell them. Really cheap. I got it for, like, $75 with free shipping. But it came with, like, a smaller hard drive and only about 1 gig of RAM. So the computer only holds 2 gig of RAM anyway, but my other computer had 2 gig of RAM chips. So I put them in. And when I first got the computer, it ran pretty good. And then when I put the memory in, and I upgraded the hard drive, too, it started crashing again.
Was it the right kind of memory? Because every computer takes different kind,
yeah,
whether it's PC, DDR, DDR1, DDR2.
Yeah, I did check. They were both a PC 2700 DDR.
Well,
okay?
But hold on a second, Bill. If your old machine crashed,
right,
and the crash followed the RAM to the new machine...
Maybe it's RAM.
Yeah. What I want you to do is go to memtest86.org.
Okay.
And download the memtest program. Burn it to a self-booting CD. Boot that CD and let it run for at least 24 hours, and it'll tell you if there's a problem with your RAM.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Sometimes you can try one RAM card at a time and see if that works, but some motherboards require two RAM cards.
Okay.
So you may not be able to one at a time.
Okay, well, I will definitely try that. I have one more thing the new computer does, which is a little strange, which is when I start it up, it'll come to, like, this a page where it says HP, because it's an HP computer.
Wait.
And
before we go on, I lied to you. It's memtest86.com. Not org. Don't go to org. That's a fake site. Go to memtest86.com.
Okay.
Sorry, go
Thank
ahead.
You.
Sorry.
Anyway, it'll come up to the splash page or some page, okay, that says HP on it. And then it bounces right past that and it loads XP, which I have on it. Now, sometimes, though, when I start it, it goes to that page and just sits. And then I have to turn it off again and then turn it back on, and this time it'll bounce past it and it'll start XP.
The computer crashed before it could go to the next screen.
Right. Let's solve
that's a little crash, too.
Let's solve one problem at a time.
Maybe the same problem.
Because it may be the same problem, exactly. Let's check your memory first.
Right.
And see if that's, you know, see if that 2 gig you moved from the old machine to the new machine is the problem. And I'm suspecting it is.
Put the 1 gig that the machine came with back in and see what happens.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I can put the 1 gig back in and see if it happens. If it crashes again, what does that mean?
Then it's something else.
The computer I got probably had some issues?
Yeah.
That's certainly a possibility.
$75 for free shipping sounds too cheap.
For some reason, the right channel on his is going super loud.
Just the right channel? I don't have a right channel on my headphone jack and haven't for weeks, but that's different. There's something to be said about too cheap. Yeah, they might be refurbished, which means that it's someone else's computer they tried to clean up, but there's a thing of too cheap.
Yeah. I took it apart, and it was entire. I mean, it was like clean as a whistle. So they obviously took the whole thing apart and cleaned it and vacuumed it and did whatever the hell they had to do with it. But, they didn't make any money on it or very little.
Yeah, it depends on where they come from. The refurbished machines are sometimes machines that were purchased at a store and returned because they didn't work. Or sometimes they're from companies that have upgraded, and so this machine was on somebody's desk for 4 or 5 years, you know, beaten away and run 24 hours a day, and so maybe it's just wearing out, and components are failing.
I think it was a commercial one, and they got a bunch of them in, you know, and they have a contract.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
But check the RAM. You may find that you may need to replace that RAM, but you may find that putting the 1 gig chip back in, although it'll run a little slower, but it may well be that it's the RAM that's the problem.
Yeah, it's a good way to test if you change things, you know, change one thing at a time and see what happens.
Right. Yeah, I changed two things. I put in a larger hard drive or a new one, a brand new one, and I put in the memory.
Probably the new hard drive cost as much as the computer did, right?
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, basically, but that's, you know, I mess around with them anyway, so. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sure. All right. We see that, you know, so often, and one of the telltales there, of course, is the problem followed the RAM.
Right.
Right? The new machine was running fine until he put the RAM in, and then the new machine started to have the same trouble. And again, if he puts the old RAM back and the problem goes away, we know where the problem is. Because just moving the RAM, it could still be, for example, spikes or brownouts on his power, in his house, whatever. But this'll you know, that narrows it down considerably. It's all about the troubleshooting, and that's one of the things that is so
annoying.
Well, but
and you have to have it's. You know, it's for Dave and I with a service shop. You have to have parts to test with. You know, maybe it's the RAM, so you got to try different RAM. And there's different RAM for so many different model computers, so it makes it hard to have all that old RAM around to test with.
Right. And troubleshooting is kind of a lost art.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Dick from Greece. What's up, Dick?
All right. Well, I got a blue screen on my girlfriend's machine. It was a Dell.
Right.
And I took it and made it a slave drive in my machine and was able to retrieve data. And I've done everything else possible, but I don't know how to get rid of the blue screen. I'm guessing that XP is operating system is dead on the hard drive.
Yeah, it's something probably corrupt somewhere. And if you reinstall Windows over Windows, that may fix it.
So all I got to do is get her to get some disk from Dell so we can do that.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem with some of the commercial brands. They don't come with disks. It's a restore point on the hard drive, which then erases everything instead of reinstalling Windows over Windows. If you're lucky, it'll reinstall Windows over Windows rather than erasing the drive. And well, if you've got all the data off, that may be what you want to do, erase the drive and restore it original.
Okay, that's probably why I was figuring I had to do it. And maybe it was a fix for that guy with the 98 machine. Take the hard drive out and make it a slave in the other machine.
Right, and that's really the only thing you can do at this point. That,
if the new machine comes with IDE.
A lot of machines are doing away with the IDE connection anymore. Yeah. They're all going to SATA.
My mic just went funny again. I'm hearing myself double echo.
Yeah. Now I think I'm hearing myself too, maybe.
But it was only when you turned the phone up. So maybe.
Maybe
that was
some, all right,
some
thanks,
button.
Dick.
Yep.
All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so when you turn that up, yeah, you turn that down, and now my mic is fine.
Yeah, so it's some sort of feedback,
through the mic loop. Left through the phone. Oh,
yeah.
Well.
We'll figure it out. We'll fix it. But we're, in terms of that stuff, it's very hard, like you guys said, without all the specialized tools, you know, what makes a mechanic. What makes a great mechanic is talent, but what makes an average mechanic is the tools. You know, I can do things to my car, but I don't have all those tools.
And these days, the average person can't do hardly anything to their car because the mechanic plugs it into a computer and the computer says what's wrong.
Right, but back in the day, you know, I didn't have the fan puller, for example. I could get a fan off after 3 hours of swearing. Or you could take it to
getting
the shop.
Getting it back
and they,
on.
Well, getting it back on was not possible. But you went to a fan shop and they had or a mechanic and they had a fan puller. 8 seconds later, the fan was off.
Yep.
You know, well, I could do that if I had that tool.
The right tool for the job. And that tool costs a fortune. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Mike from Gates. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. What version of Windows 7 do you upgrade? Like, because I've got a laptop with that crappy Vista.
You have to upgrade to the same version you have. So whether it's Home Premium or Business or Ultimate or Pro, the upgrade 7 has to be to the same version. If you buy the full 7, you can buy any version of 7.
Right. And our suggestion is at a minimum Home Premium.
So which subversion of Vista do you have on the laptop?
The Home.
Yeah, so you can get Windows 7 Home Premium as an upgrade to Windows Vista Home.
Okay, and what if I wanted to get the Ultimate?
then you have to buy the full Windows 7 Ultimate. You can't buy the upgrade.
And don't bother.
Yeah, there's very little in Ultimate to make it work. Unless you're dealing with foreign languages and you need to be able to type in 35 different languages, which is the...
Save your money.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing in 7 Ultimate.
So the home premium should do the job for me doing my regular office work or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't connect to a Microsoft domain. You need a 7 Pro for that. But most home users don't bother with Microsoft Windows servers anyway.
Right.
But yeah, the big trick is you have to upgrade to the same level you have of your previous OS. We had a customer that had Vista Ultimate and tried to upgrade to 7 Home, and it wouldn't because it was a different level.
Right.
Yeah, so if you have Vista Home, you can upgrade to 7 Home.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That is one of those tricky little things. Microsoft is not interested in letting you downgrade, essentially, in terms of what you're paying for the next operating system. And don't fool yourself. It's all about what you're paying. Microsoft does not make money if you keep your old operating system, and they don't make enough money if you upgrade to a lower version on the next time around, even if you realize that your previous time around was a mistake.
So then you have to buy the full version, not the upgrade version.
Right, right, right. Or you just wipe out the machine, put Ubuntu on it, and win.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've been working with Windows machines all my life, but ever since I've started working with Linux machines, I start getting annoyed at Windows machines. It used to just be what I did. Now I'm annoyed that I have to do it at all.
I don't.
Well, you got Dan to do it. You love it when people have these problems, and you don't mind jumping through the hoops because that's how you make your living.
Yeah.
And really, that's how I make my living. But in terms of the real work that I do every day, I don't want to have to be bothered. Well, I just don't want to have to be bothered anymore.
But here's the thing. There's one thing, as far as working with Windows, and there's just some folks, it's just plain stupidity.
People don't know, and that's the difference. People don't know what a lot of the tricks are.
I hate to say ignorance, but it's lack of knowledge. They don't know how to do something, and many times they're afraid to learn. I mean,
and many times they don't know that they don't know that. Right? So they don't, not only do they not know how to do it, they don't know that it can be done.
But let me clarify what I mean by stupidity. There's a thing in your mouth there called a tongue, and if you move it around and ask questions. I have always said the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a woman this week say, what I really hate about OS 10 is there's no way to hide applications like there was in OS 9. I said, well, sure there is. There's the hide command in the application menu. It's been there for 10 years. She'd never noticed it. But in her mind, that was something wrong on her new computer because she didn't know where that feature was.
Right.
So it's, the computer can do pretty much everything. You just have to find out what that trick is to make it do it.
And the key thing, though, is, folks, don't be afraid to ask questions. I would rather have someone, if they're, they get their machine back and they're unsure of something, pick up the phone and I'll gladly answer any questions.
And it's
because too often they say, well, I'll just try this and I'll try this. And they wind up digging themselves in deeper.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than getting to the end of your instructions and realize they never understood the first one and didn't say so.
Right.
And so you think you're done and the problem is solved, and they go back and they say, well, what was that first thing again? I didn't understand that.
Right. It's like with Windows 7, I was looking at your screen there, with the security tango when people do the Windows waltz. And they say, well, it didn't work for me. I said, well, what happened at step 5? Well, I skipped step 5 because I didn't understand it. Well, what does it say right at the top? Don't skip any steps.
Again, that's what I mean.
If you don't understand it, ask.
Yeah.
And if we use a word you don't understand, ask. Yeah. Because
people don't want to appear.
We've got 100 years of computing experience between us.
Yeah. Yes.
And we forget what people don't know.
And that's the thing. It's not that we're trying to bamboozle you, pull the wool over your eyes. We sometimes just forget. And it's because any jargon from any industry, you just get used to spouting it. So if we say something you don't understand, stop and ask. Because it's not that you don't get it because you're stupid. We didn't say it right because we're not that bright ourselves.
I got to share another story.
We'll get to those.
Yeah. No, we'll this is another those. One right. later with the rant.
All right. In
I
the
got
meantime,
two now. You just reminded me of another
one. No, it's 20 off.
It's 20 of.
No, wait, 25 of. Sorry. We got 5 minutes.
We got 5 minutes.
That was never 5 minutes. Did you see the new, not new, the Fawlty Towers edition has come out with John Cleese doing some interviews, and they're free on iTunes. You can download John Cleese talking about Fawlty Towers.
All right, I'd rather talk to Dar in Canada about it.
Let's talk to Dar in Canada. Yeah.
Dar, welcome.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Excellent. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
How are things in the frozen north?
Windows two steps forward, three backward.
Yes.
Full agreement there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like getting a root canal. why? It might be of interest if an oldie but goodie, a Google of Steve Gibson lets loose on Windows.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yes. Steve Gibson.
And he's a Windows programmer for 20, 30 years.
Meets potatoes.
Yep.
Yeah. Steve Gibson, for those of you who don't know, has been a programmer forever, and he's the guy who created SpinWrite and a bunch of other programs. He does most of his programming in hand-coded assembler, and it is tight and clean and fast and easy to use. It's pretty neat stuff.
I think SpinWrite's only 38K.
Yeah, because it's all hand-coded assembler. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. Steve Gibson has never been... at a loss for an opinion, and he's never been shy about letting his opinion be known, particularly about Windows. You're absolutely right, Dar. Did you watch that? Did you watch the or listen to it?
Jaw-dropping, scary.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot or biting the hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You.
SpinWrite is 174K.
Well, there you go.
And it's this magic program that can recover a lot of damaged hard drives, dead hard drives.
Reformat a drive on the fly without losing your data. Tell me that's not voodoo.
Yep.
That's black magic. I don't care.
Some people claim it hasn't been updated in years. It hasn't. It hasn't needed to be.
Right. When you get it right the first time, you don't need to update.
We're constantly begging him for a Mac version of it, especially now that the Macs run Intel processors. But it's so tied to the Int13. In BIOS that it doesn't work with EFI.
Right. Dar, you're absolutely right. He's an astounding guy. You're right, and you're right. He's kind of biting the hand that feeds him. But on the other hand, he'd rather they got it right.
Yeah, he hosts a podcast with Leo Laporte called Security Now, where they talk about Windows security issues and Mac and Unix as well, but primarily Microsoft. And They explain how the internet works, how Windows works, flaws that have come out, and how to fix them, and how to keep yourself safe on the internet. He doesn't run any antivirus or anti-spyware software on his computer because he knows how to keep himself safe.
Yeah. All right, Dar, thank you so much. Have fun out there in the frozen tundra of the north that is Toronto, Ontario. They probably have less snow than we do. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites wish you a happy holiday season.
Forget the mattress and cookie jar. There's a much safer place to put your money, in a bank insured by the FDIC. If you have up to $250,000 in checking, savings, or a CD, you can't lose a penny. Your money is 100% protected. Visit FDIC.gov to learn more or call 1-877-ASK-FDIC. The more you know, the safer your money.
Hello, I'm Max Wheeler on Wednesdays from 9 to 11, wishing everyone happy holidays from Jazz 90.1 and Jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Havana Mo's, located at 125 East Avenue in the East End. One of the only legal smoking bars in the city, Havana Mo's features the East End Jazz Boys live every Saturday night from 9:30 to 2 a.m. For more information, you can call 325-1030.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Wait, we're listening to the music. Hold on a second.
I can pat it up.
No, there you go. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. All right, kiddies, it is that time once again. Strap yourselves in. Get your footy jammies on. Grab a mug of hot cocoa and sit Indian style and a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Huh? Yep.
It's that time again, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I know. Getting ready.
Get yourself revved up.
Clear! Okay. We ready?
Yeah.
All right, pissy missy. You know, I love my customers, and I don't want to, you know, and like I've told folks before, we don't, you know, mention any names or that type of stuff. But when you bring your computer in, and, you know, we do our darndest. This one happened to be an item was broken on it. We spent the time, got it fixed. And then this little pissy missy is sitting there complaining, well, what about this part and that part? Does that work? No. Well, why not? Well, maybe if you hadn't dropped the laptop for, probably the third or fourth time, it might work. But, you know, yeah, the camera isn't going to work. And, oh, yeah, that touchpad, well, it was working before you came there. How would we know? It wouldn't even boot up.
All right.
We got it up. It's running. So, you know, live with it. You know, if you took a little bit better care of it and, you know, didn't treat it like, oh, just another toy. And if you had to pay for the repair, that's what gets me.
Dropping.
A lot of parents, you know, sit there and, you know, they're trying to help their kid out. But the kids don't have any respect for it because, you know what, it's not coming out of their pocket.
Right.
And dropping your computer is not covered under warranty.
Right.
Yep. And you will pay for repairs.
Yes. And I mean, hello, you know, it just frustrates me. You know, and I know, you know, I'm a parent myself. You know, I got a grandparent. And, you know, if the kids didn't take good care of it, I'm sorry, my generation, it'd be taken away.
Some of the computers come that's in right. filthy, and that's really crazy. Yeah, how can you let your computer get so dirty? And that's on the outside. What do you think the inside looks like?
Well, yeah, right, way, way worse.
Yeah.
One of the things that's always bothered me about laptops, though, is everybody tries for these slick-looking surfaces. Those are hard to hold on to. I want a laptop with some sort of rougher surface that it's easier to hold.
That's one of the reasons I put this cover on it.
So right. That's why people sell those aftermarket covers, which are wonderful. But what I'm looking for is, why don't you just rough up the surface on the outside a little bit?
Apple had one of their early iBook models that we nicknamed it the toilet seat model because it looked like a toilet seat.
Well, yeah,
and it had a handle built into the computer that you were supposed to carry it by. It had rubber grippy edges. It was marketed directly to students.
Right.
Who don't tend to take very good care of things.
Right.
But there were no external latches. Everything just sort of clipped together. And it was one of the best designs they ever had.
No, one of your best designs that came up is from the Mac, and that is on their power connector, where it's just a magnet.
Magnetic power connector.
Why the heck the other manufacturers don't come up
well,
with
at
that?
This, at this
probably
point,
Apple patented
Apple patented that, yeah. But you can come up with something similar.
I suppose you could, yeah.
I mean, hello, it's electricity. You know, you just have a flat pad there that it quick snaps. So when you go to, you know, pull away.
When you trip over the cable, you don't yank your computer to the floor.
Yep, it's a great idea. It's a great idea.
It is. I mean, you know, that's where most of the destruction comes from.
Right.
Folks are in a hurry. They quick grab it, go to take off, and it's still plugged in, and they get yanked back. Sort of like on that
or you snap the connector off on the inside.
You remember on the, My Fat Greek Wedding? When she gets up,
go
take off, and all of a sudden her headset's still plugged in, and she gets yanked back and onto the floor. That's what, you know, I've seen people do that.
Right.
You know? They take off, boom, they get yanked right back. And then,
but that's, if I were to rant, it would be about the fact that, well, everybody wants it to be slick and futuristic and yada, yada, yada. I'd rather have it be functional, frankly. Yeah. I know a bunch of people, you know, that sticky stuff, that grippy stuff that I put on my dashboard. Mm-hmm. I know people who have glued that stuff to their laptops just so there's something to hold on to.
It's not.
Or they buy sleeves. You know, I've got arthritis and carpal tunnel, so I'm my hands don't work as they used to anyway. So I make sure that whenever I buy a laptop, I buy a case for it that has a handle. And then I always keep it in the case, even if it takes that extra half a second. I'm not so vain about my computer that you have to see I've got a Mac or you have to see I've got a netbook. I don't really care. I just want to get it from place to place without dropping it.
Somebody did ask me, it's my cover, you can't see the Apple logo on the computer. Is this... They said, "Well, you got to cut a hole in it so you can see the Apple." No, I put a sticker on the outside, so now you can still see the Apple logo.
Right, right. But that's the deal. All right, kiddies.
You ought to turn your mic on, though.
Oh, forget about that. Dar was just there and just had another quick question. What was the recall though on the Mac for that quick disconnect? Was there a recall or something?
Not that I am aware of. Mm.
Steve will look that up. However,
But it's not a recall. The rubber connector where the cord comes out of the AC adapter.
Mm-hmm.
If you wind it too tight, it tends to fray.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
So Apple is replacing some of those if they fray too early.
All right, that's it. We're gonna put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week. Get your footy jammies off. Put your empty hot cocoa mugs in the sink, and we'll see you next week with a lot more. Uncle Dave's Story Hour. Absolutely. Those are neat, though. But these things, I see kids all over the place with these things plugged in somewhere. A lot of kids don't have the extra.
Yeah.
You can buy those separately.
All right.
It comes with it. It comes with a little, what we call a duck head, so you can carry just the AC adapter around.
Right.
Or you can carry it with the longer connector.
Right.
I actually had to get a different one that was grounded. The connector that the computer came with was ungrounded.
Oh, good.
I need a ground one for the recording, so otherwise I get that ground loop home.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the other things, though. You know, we talk about the laptops and durability and everything else. And I've had this happen to me. I don't know whether you guys have had it happen to you, but... You know, I could be, say, at a coffee shop or someplace else, you know, and folks have their computers out. And they've, just like this, they've got the cords strewed across the floor,
yep.
Plugged in.
Trip.
And, you know, you're trying to juggle, you know, say you got coffees and all that, and try to step around stuff. And folks don't care. You know, they just throw it right out there, not worrying about whether somebody might trip on it. Am I being wrong or rude? You know, thinking...
You usually see people jostling for seats near the wall, so they're near a power cord.
Right.
Yeah, but some of them, you know, have a table
just
out. And then they,
yeah, don't.
And then they, you know, sit there.
And they get mad at you when you trip on it.
They get all huffy. Like, you know, could you move that, please? You know,
yeah, right.
See, there's always that catch-22 that someone was joking with me about that when we were at a board meeting and everyone's racing for power cords. It's a laptop. It has a battery in it. Why do you need to plug in? Well, because I don't know the next time I won't be able to plug in. I want to save my battery.
Right. And that's really, I think, been the downfall of all of the industries that are out there, is the complete lack of real forward movement on battery technology. There haven't been any real breakthroughs, you know, in terms of that stuff. And I don't know what the deal is.
Well, there's something coming. We're using lithium ion... different flavors of lithium now, but there's a new thing coming what is it? It's capacitors. Right now, a capacitor, computers are full of capacitors. They store a charge, but it takes a long time to build that charge, and the charge is released instantly, which works for the system now. But there's a new line of capacitors coming out where there's a couple of screwdrivers that are out now, rechargeable screwdrivers. It takes 90 seconds to charge this capacitor. And then it will last for a few hours. With most laptop batteries now, it takes 6 or 7 hours to charge it,
yep.
So it can run 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, right.
So in fact, Steve Gibson did a whole episode on these supercapacitors. They're calling them.
Tayville was in the twit and sent me a tweet, and he said, "Pretty soon, Steve is going to be doing the boing boing noise on his mic." You can't go anywhere without the boing boing problem happening. For those of you who don't know, in Second Life, for some reason, Steve, every once in a while...
We should tell folks about Second Life, too.
Right. After about 40 minutes, his mic starts getting funny, and he starts breaking up and becoming garbled, and then there's this double boing sound, which I can't even begin to reproduce, and he disappears.
Somebody's got to record it, because I've never heard it.
It's a great sound, by the way. It's a great sound.
We know that it, momentarily after that, boink, boink,
right,
he's going to crash.
Right. And Tay said it's the same sound sort of that you were getting out of that mic was the precursor to that boing boing sound.
Well, believe it or not, that seemed to correct it.
Mm. Yeah, replugging it. So that must have been
electronic. Yeah, we're not audio engineers. We never thought of that. But if it was your computer, we'll try unplugging it and plug it back in again.
Exactly. Right. We unplugged the mic, plugged it back in, and there you have it. Dust
it's
must
not
have
a
gotten
computer.
Inside. Right, exactly. Yeah. But we do Second Life every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Linden Time, at the Finger Lakes Island. The folks at Finger Lakes, in particular Larry Dugan, was kind enough to loan us some space over there. And they are an educational institution, and we do educational stuff. So we're there every Friday night at 9 o'clock, and we answer people's computer questions in Second Life.
And, matter of fact, Newt and Lolly are going to... make it snow there.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. They asked if it was okay, and I said, yeah, if you got the time, go for it. She goes, well, I thought you didn't want snow in there. Nah, go for it.
Now, if we're going to have
virtual
snow
is fine.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
As long as I don't have to shovel it.
Right. Now I'll have to wear a coat.
Yeah, still go around in shorts.
That guy Lex last night has said he'll build me a cube in Second Life.
Oh, cool.
A Nissan cube, so... I couldn't find one. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't find one. But hopefully I'll have one there, too. So we have fun in Second Life. We do answer people's questions. Dave goes in there. Dave's in there, I think, at least every day for 9 or 10 hours of the day.
For a few hours, yeah. I donate a lot of my time with over in Dreams, which is an island that deals with folks with autism and that type of stuff. And it's fun, you know, because there are a different breed of folks, and sometimes they need help, a little special help, hand-holding and that type of stuff, getting their head around. Because Dreams, you know, and Second Life is just a whole other world anyways. Just the thought of, you know, you can move around, you can fly, you can build, you can do this, you can do that. Sometimes it's really overwhelming for folks, and I also teach another course in there on doing a thing what they call sculpties.
Right, and building stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's a tool to help aid you in getting things done.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun, though. And I think the audience there is growing and growing, too, because, you know, again, this is worldwide there. I mean, we're getting folks, you know, from all of the U.S., Canada, Corey, we've had a few other folks in there from, I know, Guam and, you know, England and all over.
Yep.
So that's the amazing thing about Second Life.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of printing batteries, there's a team of researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute who have been printing foldable, rollable, cuttable paper batteries. They've got one that's a little bigger than a postage stamp that stores enough power to run an LED light. And they use photolithography, right? I don't know that they're using photolithography. I don't know that. But paper has been used as an insulator in capacitors back to the very earliest days of electrical experiments, and now they're doing that. So we may be seeing printed batteries pretty soon in our computers. Well, all right. And hopefully, you know, if you can print a battery, you can make them bigger and better and faster and hold more and do everything else. All right, that tells us we're at the end of another show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. I want to thank to the folks who tweeted and to the folks in the IRC chat for their valuable assistance this week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will see you next week right here with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Definitely stay tuned to them. Join us in Second Life, and join us here next week, and we'll have some fun together. Have a great week. See you next Saturday.
Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites. Wish you a happy holiday season.